Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 13. It's printed out 1 through 13, but 10 through 13. It is found in page number 1250 from our Pew Bibles. 1250. Let's pray before we read the scripture. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bibles that we have in our hands today. Thank you for revealing yourself through the Word so that we can know you, and we are learning about all the gifts and talents that we have from you, and we're learning about your salvation plan. Lord, this is a Thanksgiving day. We want to think about how many things we have and we don't have, and then we will be rejoicing in you. From this scripture, would you please help us to see in our lives and in our church and missionaries and all the world from your perspective? So would you please bless us and help us to open our hearts to receive and your word. Also bless me as I'm going to deliver your word to your congregation. We pray your son in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the word of God. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of God. As we all know, today is a Thanksgiving day, and we praise God because we have a really nice, wonderful day. I'm looking at outside. It is really shining and bright. We read Psalm 95 today. Based on Psalm 95, we give thanks to God for many reasons. We have so many reasons to give him and praise him. And for our salvation in Christ, that is sure. And for God is great, that is sure. He's a sovereign God. And for his creation that we enjoy every day. Surely we have many reasons to give thanks to God when we look at our lives. For our family, for our church, for our jobs that we have, we can work and support our family, and even our nation, that we are living in the United States, and we can do great things with our nation. We give thanks to the Lord because God is the one who provides us with all we need, what we need. He is the one who is handling everything in his hands. Then let's think about different way. What if God does not provide us with all we need? We need money and house and car and health, bodies and other things that we live in this world. But yet, what if we see that we are still struggling with many things? We need something, but we don't have. Then what shall we say? Can we still say and confess that we give thanks to the Lord? We praise you. We praise you. In other words, can we say and confess, based on our text, I am satisfied with my life? Yes, we are satisfied when we have what we need. I can tell, I feel so happy when I have what I want, like a job and house, or our marriage and school and honor and pride and many other things that we want to have. We are satisfied. Sometimes we want more, but basically we are satisfied. We are satisfied when we accomplish, when we finish our goals and tasks and everything what we have to do. And when even our business goals and even our, if we have a business, you have a business, your business is going well, doing well, we are very satisfied. But we all know that there's no sense of a perfect condition. There's no eternal satisfaction in our life. So it will be very difficult for us to say, I am thankful for forever, or I am satisfied for forever. If something happened, if we were in unexpected troubles and agonies and difficulties, we will not say those words. We see that our contentment or satisfaction is very limited by our resources and by our circumstances that we face every day. But it's interestingly that Paul today declares that in verse 11, very simple and powerful confession, in whatever situation I am to be content. Well, if we think about his situation, we know that where he was, there was nothing for him that he could say, yeah, I am satisfied with my situation. Because he was in jail at the time when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. And think that why is that Paul said like that attitude and method, and why using those words? He was happy and satisfied, not just only, but in whatever situation. And also we are wondering about what does he mean by being satisfied in whatever situation, whatever situation. Now, did he mean by like that he knew that nothing would be changed in the future or nothing will be improved because he was in jail? So he said, oh, I'm fine, I'm satisfied. In that way, that's why he said, in whatever situation, I'm content. Or did it mean by that he already had everything? Although he was in jail, he already had everything what he needed for his missionary journeys and ministries, such as the financial support and prayer support that he already received from the Philippian congregation members. How about this question? When do we really say that? In whatever situation, I am to be content like Paul. When do we say that? Now, maybe we say, in whatever situation I am to be content, we say it like this, parenthesis, in whatever situation I am to be content when we have it all. Maybe not 100%, but we have something in our hands. But we don't or cannot say it, parenthesis, in whatever situation I am to be content when we lose something, when we don't have something, when we lost it all. As we know, Paul was a successful Jewish young man at the time. We talked about him last week. He was born as a Jew, a Pharisee, and he was a Roman citizen. He got everything. And he received the best education at the time. He got it all. But his life was completely changed. We know that he lost it all. It's 180 degree changed. Because one simple reason, on the way to Damascus, he met the Lord Jesus Christ. Meeting with Jesus Christ, he lost his honor, power, and future, and hope, and success. Probably we can say that his life was not blessed anymore, not easy going anymore. Now we see that his life, he had faced more like a threatening situations and challenged by many people, brought lots of troubles after troubles. So basically, he could not say, or he should not say, hey, brothers and sisters, in whatever situation, I am to be content. Maybe you can say that. You're not qualified to say that. Look at your situation. Maybe his friends and Jewish leaders were looking at him and saying that same attitude. Hey, Paul, look at you. You are now sitting in jail and you are saying that I am satisfied. But in verse 11, Paul added one word to remind us of something. He boldly said in verse 11, for The reason is, I have learned. Learned. The meaning of the word learn is to learn from experience, to come to realize the truth of something in Greek. He used that word two times in our text. Now, Paul did not say he was satisfied in whatever situation because he had everything, what he needed. He got everything in his hands, not that way, but he said that he knew something. He knew that there was hope and future and everything. Why? Because he has learned something. That something is people didn't know and he didn't know before. He says in verse 10, Paul says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now that this phrase, in the Lord, three words, is the key words to understand in Paul's gratitude, his attitude. Things that he had or circumstances around himself that he faced lots of things would not give him any happiness or satisfaction. But only Christ was the source of his contentment. We know that he was trying to find his own contentment. He has his own goals, his own belief and conviction. He tried to make his circumstances. That's why he persecuted all the Christians. But now he said that, I have learned nothing but Christ. Nothing but Christ is the reason for me to be happy, to live, to be satisfied. What a powerful confession he's just making right now. Nothing but in Christ, I am content. What a great confession, expression for us to remember. As we celebrate Thanksgiving worship today, can we say that? We are content because we are simply in Christ. Paul met Christ. He found true joy and happiness, not somewhere, but in Christ. And verse 10 is closely connected with verse 13. In verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And Paul had learned something. It was not him to go through all kinds of tough situations and troubles, to find himself in peaceful moment and answers. But he found something. It was Christ. That's why he said that, I can do all things. I can do all things. What? Through him. It was Christ who was able to make him and do something. It was Christ who was able to him to do everything, all things possible. He found that secret. Surely Paul's confession reminds us of a story from Daniel's friends in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know the story, the king Nebuchadnezzar made his own image and ordered all the people, his people, to worship the statue. And then everyone in town and country followed his decree except these three young men. And you know, scholars assume that Daniel was in a high position and he didn't have to bow down. Or Daniel lived in far away from that city. That we don't know, but Daniel is not found in his name. But three young men, except these three men, all people bowed and followed the king's decree. Now, there were these three young men were thrown into the furnace because they didn't bow, and surely they were about to die. And listen to the conversation between the king and the three young men. And king said in Daniel 3:15, This is very interesting. Who is God who will deliver you out of my hands? It's a very scary tone. I thought about that. No one. Because the king had the power, the ultimate power to kill everyone. Because they didn't obey his decree. That he's mocking their faith. Who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Now then listen to this young man's confession. They declared back to the king, Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, we have no need to answer you in this matter. I was reading, and after reading, I thought, wow, they are so brave. We have no need to answer you in this matter. And verse 17, if this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, fiery furnace. That's their faith. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king, declaring the mighty God, his power, and their faith. They are declaring their faith, confessing their faith. But verse 18 is interesting. But if God is not trying to save us, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve you, your gods, or worship the golden image that you have set up. Verse 18, that's interesting. If not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. If not. Did you see any connection between these three young men, their confession, their faith, their boldness in God, and Paul's confession in Philippians chapter 4? The source of their contentment was not founded something else in this earth, not any forms of environments or material blessings or possessions they have, and power and honor they can have. Just looking at their situation, we can say that there is no reason to be happy because they were about to die. But they were actually praising God. They were actually declaring the power of God. They had something in their hearts that no one had. They had a faith in God. Paul had faith in Christ. Whether both Paul and these three young men, they were in good situation or bad and horrible situation, whether they faced lots of threats or not, whether they had lots of things in their hands or not, whether they were blessed or not, whether they were cursed or not, in whatever situation, they declared that. They were able to make a confession that we are content in God, in Christ. In Paul's language in verse 10, that's why he said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Once Paul's joy was found in his love and passion for persecuting Christians, persecuting Christ. But yet now, his joy and happiness, hope is found in only Christ. So my question is, can we say like him? Can we say that nothing else but only in Christ? I am content. I rejoice in Christ. Are we greatly thankful for everything, not based on what we have today, not based on what our circumstances are better and looking good, but we are very thankful for one reason, Jesus Christ. He is the reason make me happy. Christ is only reason. who gives us His power, who already gave us His precious life for us. If we look at our circumstances, we will say that we have many reasons not to be happy. I look at Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and 27. Paul says, "Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one, and I'm talking like a madman." He was talking like a madman. "With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews and 40 lashes, last one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift in the sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in a city, danger in the wilderness, and danger at sea, danger from false brothers in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, a hunger and thirsty, often without food, in cold and exposure." Surely Paul had more things to say. "I'm not happy." He was stoned by people many times, beaten by people, and shipwrecked. And many, many horrible things kept happening to his life. But all these things didn't matter to him. Everything didn't matter to him. In verse 12, Paul says, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and in every situation." Once again, he said, "I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." He found a secret. Now he shares with us his secret. Verse 13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Jesus Christ is the secret. In every situation, Christ is the one who gives him to overcome. He knew that. He found that. Now he's telling to us, brothers and sisters in the Lord, nothing else but Christ is the one who will give us the power to overcome, power to pass all the things. Surely Paul received some help and money and financial support and prayer support from the Philippian church, but he clearly said that their help was not the reason for his happiness and thankfulness, but reminding them that I'm happy because my Lord Jesus Christ. So how can we apply to our lives today as we are celebrating our Thanksgiving service? Like Paul, sometimes we see some of our lives are maybe like a shipwrecked. Sometimes we are having very difficult time to find pieces of our lives here and there. We cannot imagine. Like Paul, some of us feel that God is a million miles away. We come to church and pray, spend more time reading Bible and small group, but we feel God is not with us. When we need Him the most, we feel God is so quiet and He doesn't say anything. Maybe some of us say and pray that, "God, where are you? Why did you give me this such a difficult time, put me in this kind of situation?" Maybe we can say, "What shall we do, Lord?" Some of us try to compare our lives with somebody else. Maybe we can say, "We need more, Lord, for your kingdom, for your glory." but it does not happen to us, then what shall we do? Then remember Paul's words and his teaching. Here Paul is trying to bring our attention and try to refocus our eyes on Christ. It's not something. It's not us. It's not somebody. It's not something out there. But only Christ we have to bring our attention, our hearts. Because He's the one who will strengthen us. He is the one. He is the key. He is the secret. When I was in college, 90s, I missed a great opportunity to visit a leprosy village, the skin disease. I had a chance to visit them with my friends. I was so afraid if I get infected or I don't want to die. So I lost that opportunity. I didn't go. And some of my friends, they were brave enough. They visited the leprosy village in South Korea. When they came back, they reported shocking news. Lots of stories. And I still remember a question at that time. They asked me, James, do you know how they praise the Lord? So the question means I have to ask, and how? And they came to me, they said, it was a moment for me, wow. They don't have hands to clap, to praise the Lord. But they do have arms to do that. They don't have their hands to praise the Lord like we do. But they have Christ in their hearts. They can praise God with their arms. Brothers and sisters, today is a Thanksgiving day. Surely we can say we are thankful for so many things we have. Family, cars, and jobs, and future, and friends, our church. But Paul reminds us of one thing. We must be thankful, nothing but Christ. Maybe we can say that we don't have that much to say thank you, Lord. But still, Paul reminds us of the grace, love in Christ. Paul reminds us, and Paul is teaching us, lift up our eyes. Don't look at circumstances around us. But look at the cross. Fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. That's Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Surely we are here today because we want to say, thank you, Lord. We are thankful for your love. Christ alone. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us many things that we can say. Thank you, Lord, for our family and church and friends and job and things that we have. But Lord, we want to say that although we don't have anything, maybe we don't have money, maybe we don't have a house, maybe we don't have a job, but we still want to say that, Lord, thank you so much because of you, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.